just come out and feel like the glory cloud's been here and he's going to be here. He never wants you to take him for granted. How many knows that? He wants you to always seek his face and hear his voice. During that time, I told Pastor and Brother Jerry, I said, listen, if God pulls the plug, nothing works. I said, we must hear from heaven. He's wanting to talk to us about April. I feel the Holy Spirit told me there's going to be some great things happen in the month of April. I really feel like the Holy Spirit told me that. It's going to be pure God, just pure Holy Ghost. Nothing to do with John Davis. Everything to do with it's God's timing. Ladies and gentlemen, for 24 weeks, God has chose your church. And I feel like on Wednesdays and Sundays, I'm privileged because I'm speaking to the core, the backbone, the foundation. Thousands have come through the doors. Those that have been here Monday and Tuesday, every Monday and Tuesday night, a third to half of the crowd are brand new people. And I can't get over it. God orchestrates the crowd. They keep coming in. The Maybe Center. We're getting the Maybe Center here in a matter of weeks, it looks like. Going to be two great nights. We're going to have Holy Ghost revival there. This choir singing. I'm preaching. Looks like the thousands will be coming in, folks. I'm telling you, I felt like the Holy Spirit told me if I listen, he'd speak to us about that. But I'm telling you right now, we need to hear his voice. I want you to join hands with the one next to you. And as you do, revival must not be routine. It must not be mundane. There must always be that desire, hunger for fresh outpouring and anointing. Like a little child that's hungry, would you right now just lift your voice and agree with me that God has his way in the month of April? Father, in the name of Jesus, I just remove all obstructions. Rebuke every hindering force. And I release the glory and I release the anointing. I set everybody free right now to worship you and to receive from you. Jesus. Jesus. I bless your people with fresh oil. Give us fresh oil tonight, Lord. Give us fresh oil. And Father, may the month of April be the climactic month of your glory upon our lives. And we'll bless you for what you're doing. Speak to us, and may we hear and heed your word. In the mighty name of the mighty Jesus of Nazareth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Lift your hands with mine and say, speak to us, Lord. Lead us by your Spirit. Lead us by your Spirit, Lord. Divine direction, the order of our services in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Give him a hand of praise, everybody.
Glory.
Hallelujah. Praise God. A few moments, we're going to have the exciting privilege of witnessing another dozen people follow the Lord in water baptism. It's always a great and exciting challenge to see these Wednesday night celebrations as people baptized in water. So just hold on and get ready to share in the joy of these that are obeying the Lord. Here again, I want to say thanks. It's a privilege to come on Wednesdays and Sundays and to join with the prayer corps here at the church. I want to mention that the Saturday evening prayer meeting is important. Saturday night, ladies and gentlemen, is carrying this revival. I want you to remember that Saturday night prayer meeting. And I'm just going to ask you and I'm going to plead with you, please. It's no time to back up or to let down. How many knows what I'm talking about? Thursday and Friday, I'll be preaching in Texas. Great rallies. Several hundred, maybe 1,000 people a night. And God's bringing people together. But I'm telling you, folks, I'm depending and I'm asking you to come with Pastor on Saturday evening to soak the month of April in prayer. Because God is doing great things and we don't want to miss out what he's doing. And I really felt like that God stopped me toward the end of March and said, listen, don't take me for granted. There's some things I'm going to do and you must listen. Immediately we went up to Bartlesville. How many was with us at Bartlesville and saw that tremendous night? Well, I'm going to tell you, we're going to start seeing more of those kind of services. If they don't come to us, we'll go to them. Amen. We're going to take the revival on the road, and God's pouring out his Spirit here, but I feel like in all around us there are cities that have auditoriums, and we're starting to get invitations from Tulsa. Several ministers have just been bombarded with invitations. I say, how many can you seat? 500. And everybody seats 500. Finally, after getting a group of them together, they decided they need to get a big auditorium, and so they're going for the Mavis Center. And I'm telling you right now, folks, it's going to be awesome what God does. The revival that started here weeks ago, I believe, is going to go right up to Tulsa, right there at the Oral Roberts campus, right there at the Mavis Center. And I believe the bottom is going to drop out of heaven, and all of Tulsa is going to be shaken with the sights and sounds of the Holy Ghost. And then in the fall, we're working on bringing the entire Pensacola Outpouring team to the Mavis Center. So it looks like that you know, the Lord knows what He wants, but sometimes we don't. And so we've got to be still, wait in His presence. It's all about prayer. Saturday evening, let me ask you again, be here. And as goes the prayer meeting, so goes the week of revival. You know, I'll be in the pastor's office, and I'll just be laying there on the carpet and just praying and weeping, and I'll hear a voice, and I know it's the devil. I know his voice. He'll say, now nobody's going to be there tonight. And we come out here, and sure enough, the place is pleasantly filled, 50% first-time visitors, and it's been that way now for 24 weeks. How many knows that God's faithful? God is faithful. And so we're just going to believe the Lord and just keep going on and just listen to His voice. He's speaking to us in the month of April. And I believe there'll be some changes, but God knows what they are. And so let's open our heart and listen to Him. I want to say thank you for the offerings. We don't say it throughout the week, but we mean it from our heart. And I believe that you know that. Some months ago, I was looking at John Davis Ministries and was $250,000 in debt. And I'm very uncomfortable with that. And I asked the Lord for a miracle of debt cancellation. The Holy Spirit told me, said, if you obey me and follow me, I'll get you completely out of debt. Now, $250,000 is a lot of money, but how many knows God's got that much? And the Holy Spirit, I believe, is going to honor His word and get us out of debt. I don't know how, but I do know this. One man cannot carry 100 bricks, 100 men can. As the Holy Spirit speaks to you and you give in the offerings, it don't go to John and Debbie Davis. The check is made out to John Davis Ministries. We've got office and revival center back in Ozark, Missouri, and we're getting ready to get something down in Pensacola. God knows the needs. We haven't talked to pastor about the need. We haven't even talked to you about the need. How many knows you're supposed to talk to your employer about your need? How many knows who your employer is? Everybody put your finger in the air right there. Now, I'm going to tell you, folks, there's your employer right there. And as you talk to him, he talks to others. And God's going to bless you. I believe what you cause to happen to others, God brings back to you. And so I believe that, folks, and I just want to say thank you. We spend a big part of our day in prayer. For souls, that's priority. Number two, finances. We believe that that's a spiritual matter. It's not about money. It's about hearing and heeding the voice of God. And God's met the need, and I want to say thank you for your part in blessing us there. Ladies and gentlemen, where Jesus Christ literally, visibly, tangibly, audibly, walking, talking amongst the church world today, many would be offended. Because you see, there's something about Him, the rock of offense, the stone of stumbling. The religious, pharisaical crowd could not handle the way Jesus spoke, the way He addressed. His style offended them. They're wanting to hear Dr. Drydust talk about the legalism and the law and all of the fine points and of theology. And Jesus talks about the lilies and the fish and the wheat and the tares and the birds and you know, He goes on and on, a treasure in a field. Each day He gets up and it's a new day, but He says, the kingdom of heaven is likened to, you know, after a while, people get tired of that. And so the Pharisees were offended by Him, and He has the audacity one day to take a kid, a snotty-nosed kid. Now, they wanted to get the kids out of the church. The kids were shouting. The kids were praising God. Shut them up. They said, no. He said, this is what it's all about. And there was a day He took a child for a sermon text and said, I want all of you to be like this child. We tell our kids, be like your parents. He tells parents, be like your kids. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't make sense. And He offends the religious crowd then. He would offend the religious crowd now. So simple in His approach to ministry. Illustration after illustration. So, you don't like stories? He tells stories every day, folks. And then He'll bring the law in to illustrate the law with a story, an illustration. I'm going to tell you right now, those that are offended at this message tonight would be offended if Jesus Christ were here. Because the message tonight is this. Everybody listen. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. And all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. Now, I didn't expect anybody to shout and run around the aisles. I really didn't, folks. I expected mixed and scattered laughter, and so I got what I expected. That one nursery rhyme, children's story, fable, if you will, illustrates the entire gospel story. And so I want you to become children tonight as we talk about the great fall. Everybody say the great fall. Because you see, that's the story of man. It's the story of humankind, a great fall. From top to bottom. Now, the evolutionists, the intellectuals would tell you that it's the opposite, that man started at the bottom. And slowly we're evolving until finally we'll reach that state of perfection, utopian dream, and with self-help, we will arrive. But the Bible says just the opposite. Man started at the very top, and man fell to the very bottom. And don't you ever forget it, because you see, psychobabble will tell you, there you tripped. You know, you've skinned your knee. There's just a minor aberration in your nature, and it's an idiosyncrasy, it's a maladjustment, it's an error, it's a mistake, it's a mendacity, but the Bible calls it sin, and a haughty spirit goeth before a fall. I'm telling you right now, folks, Adam and Eve were at the very top, and the thing about being at the very top, when you fall further, and you fall harder, and it hurts more, and that's the story of humankind. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. Ladies and gentlemen, Adam and Eve, perfect fellowship with God, they fell hard, and when they fell hard, they lost it all. Not only was it a great fall, number two, it was a great loss. They lost everything, fellowship with God, driven from the garden. They lost that sense of glory, if you will. They were covered by the Shekinah presence of God. And when the glory lifted because they fell into sin, they saw they were naked, always had been. But the radiant, imminent presence of God, the brilliance of God had surrounded them. They become self-conscious instead of God-conscious. I'm telling you, folks, in Adam's fall, we sinned all. I'm going to say it again. In Adam's fall, we sinned all. That sense of inferiority complex and feelings of inadequacies and fears and shame and blame and all of this comes because of the three-letter word called sin. It's more than a mistake. It's more than a mendacity. It's more than a psychological maladjustment. It is treason. It is, ladies and gentlemen, the cosmic AIDS virus. It is a fall from the very top to the very bottom, and don't you ever forget it. It's a great fall. It's a great loss. I don't care what people say. I don't care what evolutionists say, intellectuals say, folks. When man sinned, man lost it all. I said, man lost it all. There's a great fall from the top to the very bottom. Then there's a great loss. They lost everything. And this is inherited. It's carried down to us. The venom of poison flows through our veins. We inherit the Adamic nature. Something in me is moving away from God. There's a bent toward iniquity. There's a drive toward things that are dangerous and will drive a soul to a devil's hell. You don't have to teach a child to misbehave. It's in that child. It's there. It's called rebellion. It's pride. It's wrong. And I want psychobabble to hear me. Ladies and gentlemen, it's going to take more than counsel. It's going to take more than social programs. It's going to take more than reformation. If you want reformation, you can go to reform school. If you want information, you can go to regular school. If you want affirmation, you can go to psychologist. But if you want transformation, how many knows you go to Jesus Christ? He will change our lives for good, for God, for time, for eternity, forever. Give him a hand of praise. A great fall, a great loss. Everything is lost. And Adam and Eve, when they lost that glory, I'm telling you something, folks. I don't want to lose that glow, that glory that's come back upon the church. I was preaching last night, camping under the cloud. And I told you what God told them. He said, when that cloud stops, you stop. You go ahead and you pitch your tent. You drive your stakes, but as soon as that cloud moves, you move. You're to camp under the cloud. You're not to get familiar and accustomed to the surroundings or the people around you and hang around them. You're to hang around me. How many knows God wants us to go with him? And the message last night was go with God, camping under the cloud, camping under the cloud. If it's 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, you stay under the cloud. When it moves, that's the sign. You sound reveille, you blow that gospel bugle. It's time to pack up, rise up, and get up and get out. Amen. And that's the message, folks. To go with God is to be under that cloud. I was preaching last night. I got a call this morning from a preacher from the Tulsa area. He said, well, you were preaching on camping under the cloud. He said, I was adjusting my contacts because he said there was a blue cloud that I saw and I thought it was my contacts. He said, I adjusted them, I cleaned them, I came back in, and he said the cloud was still there. Ladies and gentlemen, how many knows there is a cloud that's over the church of Jesus Christ? It's the glory cloud. I said, it's the glory cloud. I believe he saw it. I know I felt it. But I'm telling you this. To tell you this, folks, a great fall led to a great loss. They lost the glory. They lost fellowship. It wasn't just tripping and skinning your knee. They were bleeding. They were a bloody mess. Demon shadow of glee. There's no hope. There's no remedy for this malady. They were driven from the prison of God, and they lived to dread the day that they believed the lie of hell when they saw a son they loved kill another son that they loved. And to go to that funeral and bury that boy, and all the bliss and happiness seemingly was lifted. But they kept looking for the promised one, because Eve heard the word of God that the seed of the woman shall bruise the head of the serpent. Ladies and gentlemen, that's why I believe that Adam and Eve were saved. I believe that they looked with anticipation, expectation toward the remedy for their malady. They knew that they blew it. They knew it was a great fall. When Seth was born, they thought, this is him. This is him. And they kept looking. They were a bloody mess, driven from the presence of God. In Adam's fall, we sinned all. But how many knows what we lost in the first Adam? We regained in the last Adam. When Jesus came, lived and loved and died, overcame the wicked one, and he bruised the devil's head. And all the devil could do in retaliation was to pinch his heel, signifying the temporary sufferings of Calvary. But Jesus overcame. He arose the third day with all victory, all might, all dominion. And one more time, we can walk in the cool of the day with Almighty God. Give him a hand of praise, everybody. Great fall, great loss, great hurt. Anybody ever fell? It hurts, doesn't it? I was coming out of a restaurant in the month of January, and the parking lot was slick. The bottom of my shoes was slick. I had a big Coke, Diet Coke in one hand. And I was just kind of bebopping along. The rain was coming down. And John and Julie and Deb were standing there in the restroom waiting for me to go out and get the van, open the doors, back up, and let them in. And so here I go, bebopping along. And ladies and gentlemen, as I'm coming right up to the door, all of a sudden my feet just go out from under me, and I'm telling you, there's no way to fall gracefully. You can't be cool. You're a fool. Everybody knows it. You feel like one. And there's no way to act like it didn't happen or act like you're not hurt. Because, I mean, pow, I fell hard, and it hurt, and it really hurt my pride. And it hurt more when I saw them laughing. I'm going to tell you something, folks. Now, they never laughed until they found out I wasn't hurt, but when they found out I was okay, then they laughed, and they laughed for days. And they're still laughing, amen. In Julie's mind, she sees that picture, and every so often, she'll just bust out laughing as she sees the preacher with a coat flying up in the air, and here I go. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I said that to say this. It hurts your pride. It hurts every area of your life when you fall into sin. And the higher you are, the further you fall, and the more it hurts. We'll share something with you. I asked God some years ago, when the great evangelists were falling, biting the dust and devastating a lot of people, and the weak ones in the church, and those that weren't strong in the faith were really devastated. And I'm going to tell you right now, the one evangelist that fell had built up such a following and such a rapport. He was probably quoted more than any other preacher that's ever lived other than Jesus and the Apostle Paul. And here's the man of God that we all eulogized. I got a letter from him that I hung on my wall when I went back into evangelism, and he's the hero we look up to, and then he falls. And boy, the higher you are, the further it is, and the harder it hurts, and the more people see you. And the whole world saw this fall, and then we were devastated. I believe it could have been equal to the sin of Judas Iscariot as far as the devastation on the body of Christ. And maybe you don't agree, but I'm telling you, the whole church world was trembling, and there was a rumbling among the whole body of Christ, and you came into churches, you tried to preach, and people just looked at you. It's almost like they was in a coma of shock. And I remember that time, and folks, it devastated me as well as it did you. And I said that to say this. I asked God. I said, Lord, I believe that you're going to use me. But I said, Father, I ask you right now, if I'm going to get to a place where people are looking at me and they've got their eyes upon me, and if you see I'm going to fall, I don't want to fall from a pedestal way up. Let me fall right here where I am now, to where I can pray through, but nobody else will be affected. I said that to say this, folks. Some people want to climb that ladder and get as high as you can. I'm telling you right now, folks, I'm not praying for big crowds. I'm not praying for big churches. I'm praying, God, you know what I can handle, and you give me what I can handle. Help me not to be overcome with pride. Pride will stupefy you. I said, pride will stupefy. You, but how many knows the grace of God can keep you and preserve you, not only set you free from sin, he can keep you from falling. Would somebody shout amen tonight? Go ahead, give him a hand of praise. I said that to say, one preacher I talked to as a young boy preacher said, if I'm going to fall, he said, I want to fall from the zenith and the pinnacle. I said, not me. Oh God, the hurt that it does to everybody, the harder and the further you fall. A great fall, a great loss, a great hurt hurts you physically, mentally, spiritually, domestically, folks. It affects every area of your life. Scattered, shattered, tattered, torn, worn, pieces, wretched, broken, bruised, lives, marred, scarred, distorted, disturbed, disillusioned, marriages, fractured, fragmented, all to pieces. It's the story that a child heard years ago about Humpty Dumpty, but it's the story of humankind. It's the story of Adam's fallen race, broken pieces, broken, shattered, splattered, scattered pieces, marriages beyond repair, divided, devoured, and destroyed. I'm telling you right now, there's a message in this kid's story. But the great tragedy, here's the great tragedy. Here's what the story says. It says, all the king's horses, everybody say that. All the king's horses, boy, this is good for your pride tonight, folks, I'm telling you. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. And this message is not original. I heard a black brother share this some years ago that left an indelible impression upon my life. And he said, why in the world were they looking for the king's horses to do it? Or why were they looking for the king's men to do it? Why didn't they ask the king? Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to hear me tonight. Because I'm going somewhere with this message. How many knows where I'm going? Some of you already, you're ahead of me, but I want you to realize, this is the story of humankind. We're looking to the king's horses and the king's men. Woe be to them that trust in chariots and horses. Woe be to them that go down to Egypt for help. Cursed is the man that trusteth in man, that maketh flesh his arm, for his heart departs from the Lord. What are you saying, John? I'm saying what this poem says. If you will, ladies and gentlemen, people are going to sedatives and stimulants and downers and uppers and beer busts and pot parties and cults and occults and things and thrills and theories. And we go here and there looking for this and that. And that's the ultimate of blight and tragedy of humankind. It's only cosmetic. It's only superficial. It's only artificial. I'm here to tell you, stop looking to the king's things and the king's men and realize there's the king that can put everything together again, change your life for God and good. How many knows who he is? Give him a hand of praise. Not only a great loss, great fall, great hurt, great tragedy, we've got a great hope. And it's not in the king's machinery. It's not in psychobabble. It's not in this and that and the other. But it's in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, some of the greatest words in the Bible, the words Jesus passed by. Potosi, Missouri, one time a tornado came through. Me and my dad and brothers followed the after effects of that tornado and went to see the devastating effect it left on that small city of 3,000 people. And I'm telling you something, folks, you can see the path of the tornado. You can see where it's been. Torn, twisted. Buildings, mangled. Lives were lost. People were hurt as we passed through the path of destruction and fire. And I thought, that's just like Satan. When he comes through a town, He will devastate lives. There's nobody that gets married that thinks, you know, 2 years we're not going to be together, but it happens. 50% ratio right now. People not staying together. But I'm telling you something, folks, this is the work of the devil. You can see where the tornado of hell has come through and left aggravation, devastation, hurt, harmed, hindered, lies, broken marriages, pieces, shattered, scattered. There again, folks, it's the story that we learned as a child. But you know, you can also follow the path of Jesus and see where he's been. You know, you can follow the path of a Holy Ghost revival. You know, there's a tornado that's come through Miami, Oklahoma, and come through a four-state area. And for 24 weeks, I dare you, if you're a skeptic or a cynic, I dare you to find somebody that they had to carry out last night from Skytook, which Kansas, is that where that is? Oklahoma. And there was a group of them there. And the night before, 39 from Claremore, Oklahoma. And people coming in, and we've got to carry them out in wheelchairs, and they can't move, and they're laughing, and they're rejoicing. And the Pharisees are saying, why don't they shut that up? They can't. Amen. There's something inside of them that's greater than the pain and the worry and the trouble on the outside. How many knows a Holy Ghost hurricane has come through town? I said a Holy Ghost hurricane has come through the city. Amen. Follow the path. Yeah. Oh, I tell you, I want you to sit down, but you're going to get up again, I think, folks, because I'm going to tell you something. I want you to hear me, folks, and this is what thrills the evangelist's heart. This is what thrills the pastor's heart. It's not about me exercising my vocal cords and jacking my jaws and flapping my lips and coming up with another sermon to try to bless some Pharisee that says we don't need revival. No, no, no. There are devastated lives. There's been a hurricane of hell that has come through and has marred and scarred, multiplied millions. But they keep coming in here and they sit here, and only God knows the shattered, scattered pieces that marriages are in and minds are in. But as the glory cloud comes down, King Jesus, I said, folks, we're not taking them to the king's men or the king's horses. The king himself has walked down the starry steps of glory on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday for 24 weeks. He shows up every service. He touches, he teaches, he torches, he elevates, he motivates, he saturates, he heals, feels, thrills, and seals. Thank God he's putting the pieces together again. Give him a hand of praise. Yeah, Lord. Woo. Go ahead and praise him, folks. Oh, hallelujah. Since Jesus passed by in the form of a Holy Ghost hurricane, I want you to see lives that are changed. And that's what this revival is all about. And some people cannot see beyond the manifestation. Why are you shaking? Stop that shaking. Like in the Old Testament, God could shake a mountain. In the New Testament, he could shake a jail cell. But you know, we just don't believe he can shake us. But how many knows? He's God. He can do what he wants to do. The shaking, the quaking, the weeping, the laughter. I don't see any of that. When I pray, I say in the name of Jesus, I set you free. More, Lord. Fresh oil. He goes down deep. You just see the outward response, folks. I said, you see the outward response. How many knows if a tornado literally came through here tonight? I'm telling you, it could take the roof off this place, folks. Well, I'm going to tell you, there's been a whole lot of shaking going on. For 24 weeks, Jesus has passed by. I said, Jesus has come to town. The mayor may not give him the key to the city, but how many knows he's here? I said, he's here healing and changing lives. I want you to look when Jesus comes to town in bygone days. He passes by. Go ahead and follow his path. Children are laughing. Children are jumping. They're rejoicing. You know why? The madman of Gadara no longer is a demoniac. But he is sitting clothed in his right mind, and he takes his kids to the First Assembly of God Church in downtown Gadara. Amen. And they sit there, and they're clapping their hands, singing, I'm so glad Jesus set me free. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. You say, you don't know what happened that way. You don't know it didn't. How many knows? It's my message. Let me preach it the way I want, folks. I want you to see the blind beggar who comes from a beggar to a believer and he is set free. I want you to realize the widow of Nain no longer is weeping with sad sobs, but she's worshiping with rejoicing. Why? Because her son, her only son now, is alive. They're living together in Lazarus and Mary and Martha. There's a celebration. The great fall has turned into a great celebration. I said the great hurt has turned into a great healing. Hallelujah. What are you saying? I'm saying the story of Humpty Dumpty ends with a sad connotation. All the king's horses and all the king's men could not put Humpty together again. But ladies and gentlemen, the story doesn't end with the king's horses and the king's men. It ends with the king putting the pieces together again. And now Humpty Dumpty can stand and sing the song of the redeemed because of Christ the King. Ladies and gentlemen, how many knows? He can put Miami together. He can put our churches together, our homes together, our lives together, our minds together. He does it all. Nobody does it better. Glory. Hallelujah. You can tell where Jesus has been. Follow the path. Broken crutches. It's a mattress there. What's that mattress doing there on the road? Well, there was a lame man used to lay there, but now he don't need it. He's walking. He's leaping. He's praising God. The cripple was brought to him, ladies and gentlemen. Old bandages laying on the ground. The leper peeled them off. He's healed. Amen. He's not there anymore. The wine, the beer bottles, the packages of cigarettes. That's happened in this revival. One night before I could give an altar call, a man ran up here and threw his cigarettes down. And you know what? I wasn't preaching against cigarettes. How many knows? The Holy Ghost knows how to convict. In the past couple weeks, I've seen people so compelled to run to Jesus. I saw one night a young boy jump up over a pew and run down here. And then the other night, the same thing happened. A young person couldn't wait. Somebody wouldn't get out of the way. And so they jumped over a pew and they ran down here. Ladies and gentlemen, for 24 weeks, over 20,000 people have come forward. We're not counting noses. God knows what he's doing. I said, if one person come forward, if you're not a Pharisee, you'd be shouting all over the church. You know why? Because God is shouting. He's smiling out loud. They're shouting on the hills of glory. There needs to be shouting on the plains of Oklahoma. Amen. When I was in school, I had a class called shop woodworking. Some of you have had it. Wasn't real good at it, but I learned something. I learned that if a board breaks, if you take and clean it off, get it real clean and put glue, just Elmer's glue on it, and you bond it together and wait. Everybody say wait. Takes time. Sometime as we wait in the presence of God, he puts it together. You wait. I learned something that is stronger right there at that break than it is anywhere else on that board. And I'm going to tell you, that may be simple to some of you, but it's profound to me, because I'm going to tell you, God talked to me today and said, you know, when I heal, that's going to be the strongest point and strongest place in a person's life. That board may break again. It'll break maybe next to the former break, but it's not going to break the same place. You know why? It's stronger. I take that analogy. I apply it to your life. The marriage. How many knows God can put it together again? John, you don't understand. Scattered and shattered and splattered. How many knows he understands? Broken and bruised and marred and scarred, distorted, disturbed, disillusioned. God said, the king is coming in. Not the king's men, not the king's horses, but the king is coming in. Old King Jesus is coming in tonight. I said, King Jesus has walked into this building. He's here to set you free. The little boy was given a puzzle of the entire world, and he put it together fast. And the teacher marveled. Didn't know that you was that smart. Didn't know that you knew that certain countries were underneath others and certain countries were above. How did you know where all this was located? He said, I didn't. But he said, I noticed on the back as I looked at the puzzle, there's a picture of a man. And he said, I just put the man together and then the world came together. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's simple, but so are we. How many knows we're children tonight? We're not theologians. We're sitting here with Humpty Dumpty. How many can say amen? Humpty Dumpty's been put back together again. Well, here's what happens, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus Christ, when he puts the man together, he puts the woman back together again. The joy is there. You lost it in the fall. The peace. You lost it in the fall. He restores. He renews. He rejuvenates. Ladies and gentlemen, here's what happens. You look and the world is coming together. Why? Because God is changing people one person at a time. I said, revival is for you. Lord, send a revival to shake the world. God said, no, I'm going to send a revival to shake you. Amen. And how many knows, as everybody cleans up their own backyard, the whole town's clean. I said, the whole town is clean. Amen. And Miami's going to be changed because God is changing your life. Stand, give him a hand of praise. Come on, give him a hand of praise all over this building. Hallelujah. Well, praise him, folks. Praise him. Praise him. Hallelujah. Glory. Won't you lift your hands and just praise him tonight? Just praise him for a few moments. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glenda, I want you just to play a song of healing as we just worship the Lord, as we just praise him in his presence tonight. Every need supplied. He'll meet every need in your life tonight. He'll put things together that you feel like is insurmountable, impossible. He does it all. Nobody does it better. His name is Jesus. I want everybody to look up this direction tonight. And I want you right now just to lay aside your pride. And I want you to quote this nursery rhyme with me one more time, okay? Let's all quote it together. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses, all the king's men could not put Humpty together again. But the story doesn't end with the king's horses and men. It ends with the king putting the pieces together again. And now everybody can stand and sing the song of the redeemed. Because of Christ the King. That's simple. But how many knows Jesus will put your life together again? He's done it for 24 weeks. I tried this message out on my wife today as we was going to the restaurant. And I said, Deb, I don't want to offend anybody's intellect, but I said, you know, this is profound. I said, this is the story. This is the story of the fallen race. This is the story of all mankind. The great fall, the great devastation, and then looking to the wrong places for healing and help and hope. You know what? My wife got a blessing. And I thought, well, if she got a blessing, maybe you'll get a blessing. Amen, folks. We had a good time in the car as we just thought about what God has done. I'm telling you right now, I don't care what your needs are, what your hurt is. He can heal your achy, breaky heart. He can set you free. He can put the pieces together again. I just want you to bow your head and I just want you to whisper the name of Jesus. Those that are going to be baptized in water, I want you to go with Pastor right now and prepare for this water baptismal service. I thank you, Jesus, for this service tonight. I thank you for the anointing. I praise you, Lord, for what you're going to do in this place. And I just remove all obstructions and I release everybody here to bring the pieces to you. God, help us to bring the pieces to you. Jesus, help us to realize you're looking for children. Just as you offended the intellectual, Pharisaical, religious crowd of that day when you talked about animals, foxes, wheat, sheep, goat, birds, lilies. You talked about wine, millstones, fish, camels, needles. And you took a child and told grown men to be like that child. They were offended. Help us to realize tonight, Lord, that even though our pride is offended, you will heal our heart and our hurt if we will humble ourselves and become as a child. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Savior. You should bow your head and close your eyes. Nobody walks, talks, looks around. Wait in his presence. John Davis. My life's in pieces. My marriage is in pieces. The finances shattered, scattered. I don't know what it is. Maybe mentally, you just feel torn and divided. I want to tell you, on this Wednesday night, he will heal your hurt, heal your heart. You can go anywhere and try everything, but your remedy is not the king's horses, the king's men. Your remedy is the king himself. And the one thing you've got to do tonight is what thousands have done, 20,000 people, over 20,000 have come forward. Not all of them have been saved for the first time, but if there's sin in their life, sin was taken out. God set them free. And now their lives are whole. A whole life, no more shattered and scattered and splattered. They're whole, healed in Jesus' name. John Davis, I feel like that my life is in pieces. And you don't have to get specific and personal. It's between you and God. But I'm telling you right now, the healer's in the house. The King himself walks up and down these aisles. John Davis, I need to be put together again. Hurting, going through something. God knows what it is. My emotions, they're just on the edge. And God's able to bring and pour in the oil and the wine and meet every need in my life. And I know it. And I want your prayer. Here again, you got to become as a child. I have tonight. I've humbled myself before you. And I've told you a simple story that describes and depicts the entire story of the human race. Jesus can put you together again. If I'm talking to you, heads bowed, eyes closed. John Davis, I'm broken. I'm in pieces. I need a healing. Would you pray for me? If I'm talking to you, put your hand in the air right now. Put it up high. God sees your hand. Heaven sees your heart. All over this building, hands are in the air. Some of you from the outside, you really can't tell. But God knows the inside. He knows the heart. He sees the hurt. You know, many hands went in the air. But that's the way it is every night. It's God's revival, folks. It's not about John Davis trying to beg and plead and coerce. It's about obedience to the Holy Spirit. He's here tonight. He wants to heal the scattered, shattered lives. He's going to do it right now in Jesus' name. If you lifted your hand, I want to pray for you before I pray for the rest. Every one of you that lifted your hand, quickly, quietly, get out of your seat and come and stand right in front of me. Just meet me right here in front of this podium and just stand here tonight. If you will, with your hands in the air, praising and worshiping the Lord. We're not looking to the king's horses and the king's men. We're looking to the king. King Jesus is in the house. Thank you, Jesus, for healing our hurts. Thank you, Jesus. People are still coming. The Holy Spirit's moving. Thank you, Father. If you need to be here, just quietly, quickly get out of your seat and come and stand here. John Davis, I need a healing. I'm hurting. I'm hurting inside. Scattered, shattered, disillusioned, disappointed. I want God to heal my hurt. Sing it. Sing it, Dave, as people are still coming. Thank you, Jesus.
Pour your healing oil through me. Pour your healing.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. If you've got a family member here or a close friend, would you come and stand behind him as we sing it again? Pour your healing oil in me, Lord.
Pour your healing.
Your healing oil in
me.
Thank you, Jesus.
Like a river.
Those that are standing here, I want you to close your eyes. And I want you just to quietly just wait and revel in His presence. The first thing you've got to do is stop looking to the king's horses and the king's men. You've got to stop looking. Even self-help programs. All the therapy in the world. You see, some of this torn, scattered, shattered, broken pieces, it goes back to childhood. But you know, you don't have to relive it. He can reach into your past, heal the hurt, heal your heart, make you whole. Nothing's impossible. This is a simple sermon. It's God's message for you tonight. I've got the nerve to preach this because He gave it to me for you tonight. It's the story of your life. Well, right now, I want you to get your eyes off programs, off people. There are people that feel like if I just had a new mate or a different mate or a different friend. No, you will take that shattered life into that relationship. You need Jesus. And nobody but nothing but Jesus can cure and soothe, heal, and bring the fragmented, fractured pieces together again and make you a whole person. Recently in some of your lives, the glory has surfaced some things that God wants to deal with. He's going to help you deal with it tonight. I feel right now I'm walking soft. I don't want to bump into the Holy Ghost and say, move while I pray. Because this is not about my prayer. It's about the healing presence of Jesus. And I feel that tonight. I feel the sweetness. The sweetness. There's been a Holy Ghost hurricane come through town, a four-state area. Follow the paths. People are laughing. They're rejoicing. They're not tossing and turning at night. They're sleeping. Peace of mind, joy in our hearts. God's going to do the same for you right now in the name of Jesus. Those of you that are standing out there in the audience, would you help me tonight? This is not a one-man show, a one-man band. It's not about John Davis. It's about the body of Christ. There's a revival in the land, and there's power in your prayer. I want you to take your right hand out there in the audience and stretch it toward these people. These people are hurting tonight. The only reason they showed up is because they're hurting. There's shattered pieces, broken lives. But tonight the healing is coming. With your right hand toward these people right now. I'm going to ask everybody in this place, please, don't look around, don't talk. Children, hold steady tonight. There is a healing, a wholesome presence of the Holy Spirit that's moving right now. In the name of Jesus, I just remove all obstructions out of your lives right now. I break all the bondage. I cancel Satan's assignment against you. For years, you've tried to move forward, but the pieces aren't together. There's nothing wrong with you that Jesus hasn't already healed. 2,000 years ago, He shed His blood, sweat, and tears that you may be a whole person. Not just healed physically, but mentally, domestically, and spiritually, psychologically, financially. Right now, I speak the healing word of God over your life, over your mind. In Jesus' name, Satan, I cancel your assignment toward these people. And I bless everybody here right now with healing, with wholeness, with soundness. Jesus, please, those that are standing, put your right hand toward me. God told me to have you do that right now. There is a rush of healing that's coming your direction. It's coming your direction right now. And the devil is trying to stop it. And I feel that. But the devil's a liar. If you want healing in your life, you want God to put the pieces together, put your right hand toward this preacher. In the name of Jesus, I speak healing on your life, on your mind, into your soul, your emotions, into your spirit. I speak the word of God over you. And
devil, I rebuke you and I drive you out of our emotions, out of our mind, out of our past, our present, and our future. And I cover this body with the blood of Calvary's bleeding lamb. In the name of the mighty Jesus of Nazareth, I command everybody standing here right now, be healed and be whole and be set free. Be set free from the guilt of your past and the fear of your future and the haunting, taunting, foul forces in your present. Right now, the worry, the fear, the guilt, the condemnation, I take it out of you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, my God, I'm feeling the glory cloud coming in right now. I'm feeling that other world that's just coming down. He's coming down upon you right now. Just lift your hands and begin to praise Him. Just begin to praise Him and receive. Receive the miracle in your life. Receive the miracle in your life right now. In Jesus' name, you are free. That hurt is being healed right now. He's pouring in the oil and the wine. Everybody in the building, I want you right now, as one man with one voice, please, no dissenters, lift your voice with mine and praise Him in the Holy Ghost. We need the oil. We need the wine. We need the oil. We need the wine. Oh, yes, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just praise Him. Just praise Him. Just praise Him, praise Him, praise Him. Right now, receive the comforting presence of the Holy Spirit. More, Lord. Fresh oil, fresh oil, fresh oil, fresh oil. Some of you haven't opened up like this in months. Now, right now, don't you waste a moment and don't you let the devil pull you back. You're moving into a dimension of God that's going to change your life forever. So take your time and nobody's in a hurry tonight. This is your night for a miracle. The hurricane is passing through. The Holy Ghost hurricane is coming this way. Jesus is passing by. You're going to be able to follow His path. Healed lives. Healed hurts. Praise Him, everybody. Right now, in the name of the mighty Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. My God, I feel that glory. Lift your voice in the audience. Give me some intercessors to praise Him in the language you never learned that He gives. Oh, yes, Lord. Praise Him, everybody. Praise Him, everybody. Praise Him, everybody. The glory, the glory, the glory, the glory, the glory, the glory. The glory is bringing the healing right now. Sing it, Dave, and keep praising Him, and don't let your hands down. You see, the oil and the wine is being poured in right now. Jesus, we love You. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Oil through me.
Yes, Jesus. Jesus, that's it. That's it. In His presence, there's fullness of joy. In His presence, there's fullness of joy. Yes, Lord. That's the glory on you, brother. That's the glory on you. This is your night. This is your night. This is your night. Jesus. Come on, praise Him, the glory. My God, what a night. Woo! Praise Him, praise Him, praise Him. Praise Him, praise Him. I want everybody in the building just to honor Him. Jesus is passing by. Jesus has come to town. He's passing by right now. Thank You, Jesus. Pour Your healing oil, Father. Oh, yes. Woo! Thank You, Lord. Just pour Your heart out. Pour Your heart out. Pour Your heart out to God. Jesus is passing by. Jesus is passing by. Glory. Hallelujah. Jesus. 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 Oh, yes, Lord. Thank You, Jesus.
For Your healing from above. For Your healing.
Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Jesus.
Through me.
I can see it on your face. Please stay in His presence. Stay there. Stay there. Stay there. Jesus is passing by. The great physician, the sympathizing Savior. There's a salve for your soul. There's a balm in Gilead. He's here tonight in the building. Nothing but nobody can heal your hurt, but Jesus already did 2,000 years ago. And right now, receive your miracle. Receive your healing in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Wait in His presence. Wait in His presence. You will give a doctor hours to take the junk out of you. You let him cut you open. You may survive, you may not, but Jesus has no casualties. The great physician has no casualties. Hallelujah. You're more than a survivor, you're an overcomer. You're more than a survivor, you're an overcomer. More than the word cope, the word victory and deliverance. It's coming to your life. He's setting you free right now. Jesus. Jesus. I want everybody to say these words while they play that song softly. Dear Jesus, I love you. I give my life to you. Whatever you want to do, however long it takes, however deep you want to go, however far back you need to go, I'm yours. I'm not going to tell you how or when. I'm going to trust you for complete wellness, wholeness, a whole person set free from the guilt of my past, fear of my future, and worry in the present. Right now, I give you everything, Jesus, and I hold back nothing by your grace. I confess, I need help. I need hope. Thank you, Jesus, for putting the pieces back together again. Nothing else could do it, but you can, and you did, and I'm yours, and I praise you right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Just lift your hands one more time and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I'll tell you something, folks. I feel the glory heavy in this place tonight. Well, Pastor, I feel the glory heavy here tonight. Sing it one more time, Dave. You know God's doing something. Jesus is passing by. He's just pouring in the oil and the wine.
And pour your healing oil through me.
Yes, Jesus.
Pour your healing.
Yes, Jesus.
Oil through me.
Yes, Lord. That's the glory on you, Blue. He's all over you, buddy. More, Lord. Fresh oil. Fresh oil. More, more, more. Jesus.
Of love, pour your healing from above.
Jesus.
Pour your healing.
Give me some prayer team members. Hurry, fast. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Prayer team members, I want you to start praying for people right now. The glory is heavy in this place. The glory is heavy in this place. In a few moments, we'll have a baptismal service, but God told me to lay hands on you tonight. Come on, prayer team members, just go down right now and start praying for people. I'm telling you something, folks. God has interrupted this service tonight with a visitation. He's in this place. He's in this place. Thank you, Jesus.